Please be seated. If you'll turn back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We live in an age where there is little hope for the future. Or perhaps it would be better to say, there's a sense of there being little hope for the future. We're told that plastic is destroying our world. Leaving the EU is going to be a disaster. Immigration is uncontrollable. There's the ever-present risk and threat of terrorism. Job security is low. The cost of living is rising. There is a sense that there is little hope. The opposite of hope is, of course, despair. And I think that that's a word that could describe the age in which we live. There is an attitude of despair. So when we talk about hope, people assume that we're talking about some sort of wishful thinking. We're dreaming. When we speak of hope, people assume that we're perhaps living in some sort of fantasy. We are not in the real world. And yet, the Bible speaks of hope in concrete terms. Hope is a confident reality concerning the future. Hope in the Bible is a sure and certain outcome. And so as Christians, we can speak of hope. We can speak of confidence for the future. And we can speak to those around us who are in an attitude of despair about the hope that we have. There is hope that we can bring to a world in despair. Now perhaps you're here this morning and you maybe feel despair. Or perhaps you have had feelings of despair. Perhaps you come here this morning with doubts, with uncertainties. There's something in the future that's just unknown, and it's causing you anxiety. It's causing you worry. Well, this morning I want to tell you about hope that is sure and steadfast. There is an assurance that we can have for the future. And that assurance is described for us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, like an anchor. It'll be helpful for you to have your Bibles open at Hebrews chapter 6. And in verse 19, we are told, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. There is a hope that is an anchor of the soul. Just as we were thinking about our lives being like a boat journey in the Holiday Bible Club, and just as boats need an anchor, so this morning we are thinking about how we need anchors for our lives, for our soul. A hope, a sure and confident promise and faith and trust for the future. And even though at times, like an anchor, it is unseen, it is what is keeping us from drifting. It's a hope that keeps us from being broken in the midst of storms. Hope that is an anchor, a sure and steadfast reality for our souls. But what is this hope? Where does it come from? And how do we get this hope in our lives? Well, this morning I want to look at this hope, or this anchor, under three headings. Firstly, this hope comes from the assurance of promises. It comes from the assurance of promises. Back in verses 13 to 18, we are told about promises that God made to Abraham. To find out what these promises are, we'd need to go back to Genesis chapters 12 to 22. You can read those chapters this afternoon or during the week. Genesis 12 to 22. And in those chapters, we have God's promises made to Abraham repeated over and over again. Let me read chapter 22, verses 15 to 18. The Lord speaks to Abraham and says, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." God promises to Abraham that he will be blessed. He promises Abraham he'll have a big family. He promises Abraham that he will have a land of dwelling. He promises Abraham that his family will be a blessing to the nations, that many nations will be added into this family. The promise is that God will be with Abraham and his descendants forever. And God will bring them to a land of promise. And now when we come to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the writer to the Hebrews, writing to these early Christians, is saying that the promises that were made to Abraham are also the promises that are made to us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor. God's promises to Abraham are also promises to us. We too will be blessed. We too will be part of this large family. We too will have a land of dwelling forever. We too will be part of the blessing that has come to the nations. Here are promises that God has made, sure and certain promises, and they are for us. Notice also that when God makes these promises, he also gives an oath. Look at verse 13. "For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you.' God said, 'By myself I have sworn.'" Sometimes when people make promises, they make an oath as well. Maybe you've heard people say, "Oh, I swear on my mother's grave," or "I swear on the Bible that this is true," or "I will do this." We don't need to discuss the rights and wrongs of those oaths now, but it's good for us to know that when people are doing this, what they are doing is confirming the promises that they have made. And they do it by appealing to something that is greater or outside of themselves. Their mother's grave or the Bible. They're saying, "What I am saying to you is true, and here is my oath." Now, when God is confirming his promises, God swears on his own name. Because we are told there is no one greater than God. And so not only has God given the promises to Abraham and to us, but God has also said, "I am confirming these promises. I am letting you know that these promises are unchangeable, that these promises are sure and certain. And the way I'm going to do that is I will tell you, I swear it. I am making these promises." Look at verse 18. When we read that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, these promises are made. We can be assured of God's promises Because firstly, when God speaks, when God makes a promise, it is true and it is unchangeable. That is the first unchangeable thing, God's word. By his word he has spoken. And we can be completely assured that God's promises will not change. The second unchangeable thing is God's very being. His own name, the oath that God has taken. God doesn't change. And God has said, I make these promises. And so we can be sure that God's promises are true and do not change. So that for those who have come to God, for those, as verse 18 says, who have fled for refuge, might find encouragement and hope, because two things have happened. One, God has spoken and said the promise. And secondly, God has confirmed it by swearing by his name. Have you ever considered the promises that God has made? God, just as he promised Abraham, promises us in that wonderful eternal covenant, I will be your God. You will be my people. I will bless you. That is, I will give you abundance upon abundance. I will make you fully happy, content, and joyous. That's the promise that God has made to Abraham and to you. If you are in the promises, God has promised, I will make you part of a big family. Abraham was promised he would have many descendants. And that's the promise that comes to us. God has promised, I will bring you in as sons and daughters into my family. I will be a father to you, and you will see generation after generation of my family. God has promised that we will have the gates of the enemies. That is, we will have victory. We will have a land. We will have a dwelling place. God has promised that he will bring us to himself and we can dwell secure in the presence of God. There is a promise, the new heavens and the new earth. God has promised that this is for the nations. Not just for Abraham and the descendants of the Jews of Israel. Because God's promise wasn't for Israel genetically, but for Israel spiritually. For all who would come in to God's family. Not just Jews, but Gentiles. Those who were far off. This promise is for those who are far off that you will be brought in. This is the promises that God has made to us. And those promises are unchanging. Those promises are sure and certain. Here is a hope, a sure and certain hope that we can have for the future. Here is part of this anchor. Here is what can keep us secure and keep us safe. God has made his promises. Here is a sure, certain hope for you. The assurance of God's promises. But then secondly, we also see that this hope is to be applied to us personally. It's a hope that is to be applied to us personally. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It's an anchor of the soul. Our soul is our very inner being. It's that part of us that makes us us. It's that part of us that is immortal. It does not die. We all have a soul. We all have our inner being. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, we read about creation The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In creation, Adam's body was formed first, but the body was lifeless until God breathed the breath of life into the body. Man becomes a living soul. We all have a soul. And as Christians, we believe that it's important for us to nourish and look after our soul. Our souls will have an eternal significance. When we die, our souls are preserved. They are preserved either to be brought to glory for all who are in Christ, or your soul will be preserved to be brought to eternal punishment in hell. Our souls go on, so there is an eternal significance to our very being. And so here in Hebrews, we are told that we can have an anchor for our soul. Here are promises that are not just made in general, not just made to mankind in general, but here are promises that are to be applied to us personally. Here are promises for our very being, for our very soul. Here are promises that are made to preserve you, to keep you, to hold you. But we've a problem here. And that problem is that our souls, our self, it's inclined to wander. It's inclined to fall and stumble into sin. We're easily led astray. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews has already warned the Christians about just that in chapters 5 and the early part of chapter 6. There were some who had been in the church, some who had even professed faith in Jesus Christ, but have since turned away from Jesus Christ. There are some who have turned back to their former ways, he says. They're now once again calling Jesus a liar, a fraud, a false Messiah. You see, their souls, their very being, their very self was not secure. The promises hadn't been applied to their lives, and that is why they have drifted off and drifted back into sin to where they once were. They'd never been attached to the anchor. And so when a tide of despair comes up, or when a wave of disillusionment came in, they were just swept away. When persecution or pressure from outside came on them, because the promises were never applied to their soul, to themselves, they just drifted and went away. And so a warning comes to these Christians. These promises, this hope, it is to be applied to your soul, to your very life, personally. Do you know these promises for yourself? Do you have that hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ in your heart? That wonderful assurance or knowledge of forgiveness of sin. That knowledge of where we will be in eternity. Have you come to God through Christ? Have the promises that God has made in his word, have you applied them to yourself? It's not enough just to know what the promises are. It's not enough just to come and to hear the promises being read out and explained to you. It's not enough to know that there is a hope somewhere out there. if you never actually take those promises and apply them to your very soul. We are told that this hope, this anchor, it is for the soul. It is for you. So you are to take them to yourself. I want to say this morning that you can have these promises applied to your life. Did you know that your very soul can be kept secure? It can be preserved in the midst of storms. It can be brought through to the restful, peaceful harbor that is in Jesus Christ. The promises need to be applied. Perhaps this morning you are a Christian, but you've forgotten the promises of God. Maybe you have been despairing. You've been fearing the future, lacking assurance of God's salvation. Well, I want to say to you this morning to remind yourselves that the promises of God have been applied to your life. And God doesn't change. God doesn't break those promises. And so if you're a Christian, and if you've been doubting or fearful, remind yourself these promises, that they have been applied to me. I am attached to that anchor. I have that hope. The covenant promises of God will keep you. This hope is to be applied to us personally. The hope comes from the assurance of God's promises. It's to be applied to us personally. And then thirdly, this hope is achieved through our priest. The hope is achieved through our priest. The main theme of the book of Hebrews is Jesus Christ. Jesus, we are told, is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Melchizedek. You can see that there in chapter 7. Jesus is greater than the high priest. Jesus is greater than the Old Testament sacrifices, the Old Testament buildings and people. All of these were just pointing us to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the better priest, the true priest. And we are told about this hope that it's like an anchor that has entered behind the curtain into the inner place. This is what Jesus has done. We see that there in verse 19 and 20. The imagery that's being used here goes back to the Old Testament, especially to that tent that we've been looking at in our own congregation, this tent of the tabernacle, and then later the temple. And in the tabernacle, there was this inner room, the Holy of Holies. And it was here where God met with his people. But stopping people entering into that, or even the priests entering in, is a large curtain, a large veil. And only the high priest could go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. That day when the sacrificial animal was killed for the sin of the people, the priest would take the blood and he would enter behind the curtain into the presence of God. And there he would present and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat. And here we are told that this is what Jesus has done. He has gone behind the curtain. Jesus did this at his death. When Jesus was crucified, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus has taken that sacrificial death, that death that is a substitute for our sin, taking the punishment for us, and he has brought that sacrifice into the very presence of God the Father. And there Jesus stands as our priest, showing the Father the sacrifice is complete. There is forgiveness of sin. There is cleansing. The work is done. And God the Father looks on that sacrifice with joy and delight. The Son has taken the place of the people. And God shows his forgiveness for all who come through Jesus Christ. And this is how this hope is achieved. This is how we have this hope. It is only through Jesus Christ. He has taken the punishment for us. He presents the finished sacrifice before God the Father. He has entered in through the curtain. And there, before God the Father, we know that the promises are for us. The promises are then applied to our very heart and soul because Jesus Christ has entered in. And what we must do is then turn to Jesus Christ. We must seek God the Father's forgiveness only through Jesus Christ. Only because Jesus Christ is the priest who has given himself for us. And we can know that the promises of salvation, the promise of being adopted into God's family, the promise of blessing, the promise of eternal life, they are ours only through Jesus Christ. And here is our anchor. When an anchor is being used, it isn't seen. It's thrown down into the sea. But we know it's there. The sailors know it's holding the boat secure. They have sure and confident hope. They are kept sure and steadfast because of that anchor. For us, although we don't see the promises in all of their glory, in all of their fullness, we know that they are there. Because Jesus Christ has entered behind the curtain. And we have an assurance to keep us steadfast, to keep us sure. And it is there in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. And the promises of God have been applied to our lives through Jesus Christ. They are ours in Jesus Christ. This means that if you're not a Christian this morning, then this hope is not for you. Or rather, perhaps I would like to say, it is not yet for you. You are still drifting. You are still sailing into sin. And worst of all, without this hope, your eternal soul will receive the punishment that it deserves. Outside of Jesus Christ, you have no anchor for your soul. You need an anchor of the soul. But the good news is that these promises, this wonderful forgiveness, this wonderful blessing and eternal rest, they can be yours in Jesus Christ. By coming to God the Father through Christ and asking for forgiveness for your sin, by trusting in Jesus, then you too can have an anchor of the soul. You too can have a sure and confident hope for the future in the promises of God for salvation in Jesus Christ. On the badge of the Boys Brigade organization, there's an anchor and a cross. The words sure and steadfast are written on the anchor, and it comes from here in Hebrews 6, verse 19. And there's also a hymn. I don't often quote hymns, but I have to say I do like this hymn. I've grown up in the Boys' Brigade. And these are the words of the hymn. We have an anchor that keeps the soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. And so, Christian, this morning, you have a sure and certain hope. And it's like an anchor. And it's based on the promises of God. These promises that do not change. And this has been applied to your life in God's grace. For your very soul, your very being, it is kept secure. And it's grounded in Jesus Christ, what He has done for you. And so when the storms come, when there's despair, remind yourself you have an anchor. The promises of God for you in Jesus Christ. When the tides of fear start to rise, remind yourself of the promises that you have in Jesus Christ. This is an anchor for your soul. When temptation to sin comes along, remind yourself of what He has purchased for you. Eternal life for your soul. Christ Himself. Here is an anchor to keep us steadfast and sure. To keep us fixed on Jesus Christ. We need this anchor of the soul. Amen.